ever considered that we are living in a unique time, that something world-changing is about to happen, and that it might concern you? If so, you're in the right place. Keep listening, and you'll hear thought-provoking views behind the news that point to a new and better future for all. Many people now sense that humanity is not alone. So consider this. If the Christ or the Buddha walked among us today as modern men, would we recognize them? What would they be saying? And most importantly, would we listen? Every Sunday on this program, Share International Radio will examine extraordinary events that are unfolding behind the headline news. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for. And now, welcome to this week's show.
Welcome to Share on the Air Radio North America. Very glad you're joining us. My name is Cielito Pascual, podcasting from Seattle, Washington, and we have yet another thought-provoking episode of Share on the Air Radio. The title of our show is America Holding Back Humanity? A Conversation on Maitreya's Priorities. And on this show, and every show, we present an intriguing angle on an event that many recognize as the biggest story of all time. This event was first described in the book entitled The Reappearance of the Christ, published in 1948, written by Alice A. Bailey. 30 years later, in 1979, another book was released by the esoteric author Benjamin Creme, C-R-E-M-E, called The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom. And so the information on Share on the Air Radio that I bring in, my co-host Diana Gold-Holland, she also brings in, is inspired by the work of Alice Bailey and by Benjamin Creme, and also by the monthly publication Share International Magazine. And all of our sources posit that humanity is on the verge of an extraordinary transformation.
Hold on a sec.
Okay, great. All of our sources posit that humanity is on the verge of an extraordinary transformation, assisted by very, very advanced members of our human family, led by the eldest brother of humanity, Maitreya, the world teacher. And Maitreya, as we say on this show every week, Maitreya is the one Christians are now recognizing as the Christ, those who have seen Maitreya. The Jews are expecting the return of the Messiah. Buddhists would recognize Maitreya as the Maitreya Buddha. Hindus would recognize the Krishna in Maitreya, and Muslims are expecting the return of the Imam Mahdi. But this is not a religious event. It is an event for all of humanity, no matter what your religious practice, and even for those who have no religious practice or belief whatsoever. It's an event for all of humanity. And we don't often say this on the show, but Maitreya and the Masters are here because we as humanity have called them forth. They are responding to our cry, the cry of humanity that came about during World War I and World War II. So humanity has evoked the presence of Maitreya and the Masters of Wisdom. And we call them forward. We have evoked them into the world, and they are emerging into the modern world far sooner than was originally planned. And in my mind, the emergence of Maitreya and the Masters of Wisdom is just the starting point. It's not the destination for humanity. It's simply the starting point for the transformation of humanity that we, all of us, each and every human being, has the opportunity to participate in. And it's an extraordinary time to be alive, is my personal conviction. But I present all of this, my co-host Diana Gold-Holland, who alternates duties with me. She presents this in the spirit of an invitation, We're not trying to convince anyone that this story is true. We invite you to investigate for yourself. So what they're here to guide humanity into action around is really the greatest endeavor that we can ever undertake, and that is the rehabilitation and restoration of planet Earth. And it'll involve many things. We're going to talk about that. I have on the line my guest. We've had a little bit of a technical difficulty. Our original guest was Mark Roels, who I'm hoping to bring in from Holland. I believe we have David Minot on the line from Boston. Are you there, David?
Yes, indeed. Hello, Salito.
Oh, there you are. Hey, thank you for being on, David, for being on standby. And at the next break, we'll see if we can patch Mark in. But let's go ahead with the show. You know, we're talking about this transformation of the planet every week. You're a co-producer. You're a co-producer of Share on the Air Radio, and you're listening in every week. You're helping develop the show behind the scenes. And I'm glad you're on again. We co-hosted some time back. And
yeah.
So we are talking about is America holding humanity back? And we're not here to make America wrong or make the United States bad. What we're here to talk about is the role that our country, I say our, we were born here, has to play in the rebuilding of the world. So let's start off with that question, and hopefully we can get our European perspective in. Let's talk about America's esoteric significance. When we talk about that, are we talking about like the U.S. has some kind of divine right, that we're the hope of the world? Is that the perspective we're taking?
Well, that's the way some of America views itself, but our perspective is more from a spiritual, broader perspective, in that we're all here to serve, and the U.S. is as well.
Absolutely. Let's talk about what is happening in the U.S. Hopefully we can bring in Mark from the Netherlands, but he is an avid follower of U.S. politics and economics, and he keeps Facebook messaging me, and he keeps saying, why aren't we seeing Americans protesting in the streets? There's different ways of answering that. Certainly, there is a lot happening. What can you say about how Americans are being active around protests?
Well, for example, and I know you can think of some that I can't think of, Leo, so feel free to chime in. You've got the $15.
There is a lot going on, definitely.
Yes. Just think in Seattle, where you are, the $15 an hour movement, which spread across the country like wildfire. We have the Dakota Access Pipeline protest at the moment at Standing Rock. We've got, what are some other ones? I'm thinking of, we
have
had
Black
Occupy
Lives,
Wall.
Black Lives
yes,
Matter.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Occupy Wall
yeah,
Street,
there's
which. Even though that's not as much ongoing now, it is morphed into these other groups that you and I just mentioned.
Well, there's so much going on, and I'm going to be honest with my audience right now. I am trying to text our guest in the Netherlands as I'm listening to you because he is calling in, but we have to patch him in a certain way. So I am sending him instructions. But let's focus on what is happening in the U.S. that is going on. There's so much that's happening that the media isn't covering. For instance, with Standing Rock, you were telling me the protest against the Dakota Access Pipeline. Tell me what you've been reading around that. Who's showing up? How many people are showing up? What's happening with the journalists who are out there?
I had heard, Celia, that some 8,000 protesters had been there, and about 300, I think it is, I'll have to double-check my numbers, tribes, American, Native American tribes, showing solidarity. And we had well-known journalists like Amy Goodman from Democracy Now! Being charged with felonies just simply for filming, and she wasn't the only one.
And why are they? Why are they? What's happening? Why are they being charged with felonies? You know, that's a serious issue when this country is really about freedom and democracy.
Well, part of the problem we have is that corporate America has too much control, too much power, is in bed too much with government. And in this case, the companies owning the Dakota Access Pipeline are working with the state of North Dakota to suppress the protests. But I don't think that's something that is admitted openly. Cutting off their water, allowing private security firms owned by the oil companies to attack the protesters with dogs and pepper spray and standing by and doing nothing, and that that sort of thing. And all
what
of these.
What else are we? So we're seeing a lot of movements around justice. That's a. I think, you know, what people in Europe may not be seeing. They might not see us in the tens of thousands in the streets. And we're going to talk a bit more about the distinction between protest in Europe and the expression of protest in America, and really our role in demonstrating what's called the soul of America. That's a really interesting point that we'll expound on after the break on Share on the Air Radio. We'll be right back. Stay with me.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Spiritual, metaphysical, green living, psychic, alternative healing, life coaching. Do any of these or similar terms apply to your business or cause? If so, you are in a niche market with a very specific audience. Conscious Gate PR is the world's leading conscious public relations agency. With a global reach of over 4 million and growing, we offer comprehensive media campaigns to our targeted market. Learn more at ConsciousGatesPR.com. Conscious marketing for conscious minds.
Join Vibe Nation radio host, international psychic medium Carrie Turcotte, as she guides her listeners to rediscover themselves by accessing the keys of knowledge that already exists within. Each week's show is divinely orchestrated to intertwine with the universal energies, allowing the listeners to go deeper within. At the end of each show, Carrie will tap into the energies of the listeners and give a message from Spirit about the upcoming week. If you really want to get to know who you truly are, join Carrie each Monday at 3 p.m. on Vibe Nation Radio.
Maitreya's Mission, the book by Benjamin Krem, is a riveting exploration of life ahead. It reveals how the world teacher, Maitreya, and other ancient guardians of the human race are emerging now and are showing us how to release our divine potential. Investigate for yourself at shareontheairradio.org. That's shareontheairradio.org. shareontheairradio.org.
Hey everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing brings a bigger smile to my face than cooking up a big meal for the whole family and lots of friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in our country who struggle with hunger. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids. But they can't do it without your help. Support Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
And we're back on Share on the Air Radio, North America. Thanks for listening in. I'm Cielito Pasquale with my co-producer, David Minot. We're talking about the spiritual aspect of America and its role in transforming humanity, not in the sense that America is the savior of the world. Every nation, from the esoteric perspective, has a role to play, has particular gifts to contribute to humanity. You know, often, David, we think about our gifts to the world as like defending national security. What really, esoterically, can every nation contribute? How does a nation contribute from an esoteric perspective in supporting Maitreya's priorities? And we're going to talk about what Maitreya's priorities are. But let's talk about how nations contribute.
Well, some of those ways, Toledo, are by practicing right relations with their fellow nations. And
what does that mean, right relations?
That means avoiding unnecessary conflicts, particularly war, and working cooperatively with other nations, whether it be in regard to trade or education or healthcare or world, utilizing the same resources, oil and coal and gas and now green energy.
That makes sense, right? That, you know, we should cooperate. It sounds like a nice thing, but why is it that we're not? Why do we find, holidays are coming up. You know, we're recording this show. It's late October already. The stores are gearing up for the holidays. We talk about peace on earth every year, but it doesn't happen. We always have conflict. Let's dig a little deeper into what right relationship means. Why? Maybe there's a message from Maitreya we can bring up at this point around that.
Oh, yes, that's right. You had mentioned a message that you had found that was very apropos. Maitreya's message number 83, I believe. Well, 83 and 93. 83 was, quote, love, justice, and correct sharing are necessary for man to live, unquote. And then the second
love, justice, and correct sharing. I'm going to focus on that. Love, justice, and correct sharing are necessary for man to live. Well, the opposite of that, if we have an absence of love, an absence of justice, and an absence of sharing, that seems to imply that what's ahead for humanity?
Yes, if there's an absence of that, Maitreya had said that we've tried everything else, Toledo, and it has failed. So if we fail to share and adopt these principles of love, justice, and sharing, then we will cease to be. It could lead to a world war that would be the end of the planet.
Well, and we're also, the issues facing this planet environmentally are pretty dire. And I think the average person, whether or not they're aware of esoteric teachings, has a sense of urgency. And, we bring this message in, we're sharing this spiritual message, and yet we very much bring in the political and economic aspect of this, because as Benjamin Krem has written in his books and in Share International magazine, that without focusing on love, justice, and sharing, we will see the demise of all life on the planet. And you don't have to be a student of the ageless wisdom teachings or the esoteric teachings to understand that. But how do we, when we look at the headline news today, Black Lives Matter movement, we're seeing the reality of police brutality that's staggering. Where is right relationship there? How are we going to, what will be required to correct that?
Probably that is also addressed by that second quote that you found, Salito, from Maitreya, quote, peace, sharing, and justice are central to my teachings, unquote. So the way that we could find it in the States here is through that action by the people, because the masters have also said that people power is the new world superpower. So it has to come from the bottom up and through organizing, as we mentioned earlier, your compadres have done in Seattle. We can make these changes come about. The $15 an hour movement went across the country, and this too will have to go across the country. Everyone will have to embrace the idea that Black Lives Matter or No Lives Matter, for example, since you mentioned that one.
You know, our spiritual crisis, when I say our, you know, the spiritual crisis of this country and of the planet expresses itself through the economic and the political systems. That's a reflection of our spiritual condition. And what we see economically is such a vast, vast disparity in the distribution of wealth. I'm sure if people in our audience are in any bit aware and paying attention to the news, they've probably heard that the number of people you can fit into an airplane, own 80% of the wealth of the planet, more wealth than the remaining billions. And it is a serious spiritual crisis to address. What are we, when we look at the heart of conflict, I see in terms of my activism that there's conflict around our economic systems, around that disparity that shows that we are not acknowledging that every human being that is the embodiment of a soul is not being honored, is not being provided its basic needs. And let's talk a little bit more about that conflict, that crisis. What happens when we don't recognize that we are interconnected, that we are all one?
When we don't recognize that, then we all suffer. I know you and Diana have tackled this before and mentioned this in a consistent thread through many of your shows. What part of the problem we have today is, as you said, it's economic. We have over-commercialization. We have the whole problem of market forces, which I think the masses have referred to as like a serpent with no eyes, no conscience, and no brain. Just it consumes everything in its path. And we have a lack of media coverage of all this, as I know you had mentioned, the corporatization of consciousness, the commercialization of almost every aspect of our lives. And to be more specific, the worship of market forces, someone may say, well, what does that mean? Well, for example, we could talk about the TPP and NAFTA and so on. But we could say, well, market forces.
I'm going to jump in here. You know,
there's
an interesting point around, you mentioned TPP, that's the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And I want to talk about that because that's an expression of a certain kind of relationship, the way we relate to each other as nations through these trade agreements is certainly a reflection of our spiritual crisis. The Trans-Pacific Partnership is making nations a moot point. You mentioned when we talked before the show, it makes the battle for $15 an hour minimum wage, it would make that battle, even though $15 an hour minimum wage has been one in Seattle. It's been one in San Francisco. I believe it's one in L.A. There's a big fight in Minneapolis right now for $15 an hour minimum wage. All of those fights will be made moot by these trade pact agreements, which make local laws subject to litigation. And that's a very serious trend that would suppress our freedom of expression. And when we're talking about justice, we also have to recognize freedoms. There's a great a phrase that Benjamin Krem uses around freedom and justice. When we have one, we don't have the other. You remember what that
yes.
a great way of understanding.
He was talking about Russia and America. He was saying it with communism or that form of communism, you have justice but no freedom. In the U.S., you have freedom with capitalism but no justice. The wagon can't run on one wheel. It needs at least two.
And so without, we have an imbalance of systems because there's an absence of one. We have to have both. We have to have freedom and justice. That's an that is the acknowledgement of the of what is needed for the full expression of the soul. And Not only do I have a soul and David, you have a soul that requires expression. You know, if David, if you don't get three meals a day, you won't be able to express your soul. You will be obviously suffer from lack of food. In the same way, nations have souls. And when we're talking from the esoteric perspective again, and when after the break we're going to come back and talk about what that means, the expression of a nation's soul, and especially the expression of America's soul, what that can mean for humanity. I'm on with David Minot in Boston, and we'll be back after the break.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
There is no death, only a change of worlds. Chief Seattle. Deborah Livingston is an award-winning intuitive psychic medium whose international services include mediumship, spiritual assessment, animal communication, and spiritual mentoring. She is a published author and a trained shaman. Deborah provides evidential messages from spirit and departed loved ones. Learn more at devlivemedium.com. That's devlivemedium.com.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Did you know that Share International Radio is more than just a podcast? If you're hungry for thought-provoking views behind the news, there may be a Share International event happening soon near you, providing a spiritual perspective you'll find nowhere else. To locate an event in your area, visit shareontheairradio.org. That's shareontheairradio.org. ShareOnTheAirRadio.org.
My name is Dale Pazinski, and this is how I live United. I volunteer with United Way, helping the homeless in my community by teaching computer skills and helping them build a basic resume to save on their very own USB drive. It's huge when somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
What? Why? Just wait for the inheritance. We've definitely got a rich uncle somewhere. We're one call away from the winner's circle at the Derby, dinners with multiple forks, a vacation home in the country, using summer as a verb.
You don't actually think that, do you?
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and the text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
On the air radio, we're in our third segment with David Minot in Boston. I'm Cielito Pasquale in Seattle, and we're talking about expressing the soul of America. What does that mean? We're talking about that and Maitreya's priorities, because there are priorities. We don't just have these elder brothers of humanity showing up and saying, hey, let's all hold hands and sing kumbaya. We have serious work to do. And the first priority, when Maitreya completes his full emergence into full public life, and we know that that has taken place on the day of declaration. It's called the Day of Declaration. Maitreya will appear via satellite on all of the media outlets, and we will not hear him speak. We will actually hear Maitreya speak in our own language in our head. We will hear his message in our own language in our head. It will be a telepathic blessing of humanity, and he will present the choice to all of us to redistribute the food in the world and abolish all hunger, or continue in the modes of living that we have today and face the destruction of all life on the planet. So I think the choice is pretty clear. And Maitreya knows that we will make the right choice, and we will choose for all life on humanity, all life on Earth. So, David, let's talk a little bit about the expression of the soul. You know, I think our listeners would know that through meditation, we come into contact with the soul as an individual, and we begin to express the characteristics of the soul. What does that mean?
Well, it means that we move beyond just expressing the desires of our minds, our bodies, and our emotions, our vehicles, and we begin to speak the language of the soul, which stands behind those vehicles, which is the real you. And to link that into what we had discussed about this, including before the show, and what you were talking about just as you wrapped up in the last segment, the worshiping of market forces is sort of the opposition, it stands in opposition to that. We're trying to move forward and express the soul through the mind, the body, and the emotions. And the forces of commercialization and market forces and corporatization of consciousness, these tend to work in the opposite direction. So rather than evolving, we're going backwards.
And to explain that further, the qualities of the soul are, you know, we know we're demonstrating the qualities of the soul when we are sharing, when we are working in cooperation, when we are working in unity, when we recognize the divinity of our brother and our sister, beyond even our family, beyond even our community, beyond even our country. And it's by the demonstration of the qualities of the soul but that we demonstrate our divinity. And that can be done as a nation as well. And the United States, like France, like Germany, like New Zealand, like Japan, like Brazil, every country it has the potentiality to express soul qualities. And
Yes, this is true. And when certain countries, like, and for instance, in this case, we're talking about the United States. When the United States pushes things like market for worshiping market forces and over commercialization and greed, then we're acting in opposition to that soul, and we're not moving forward, and we're not expressing the fact that all of humanity is a family. And in a family, all the goods are distributed and shared equally. We don't give food to the children or to the relatives based on the profitability they bring to the family. And as you know, so as humanity begins to recognize that it is a family, then these are the type of economic policies that we will adopt. And we won't be so much in competition, but more in cooperation, and express those qualities of the soul that you just outlined, Solito.
Now, that's not going to happen with the existing economic system we have in the world. Our economic system, and you mentioned America pushing pushing commercialization, that's primarily because of our military might, our economic might. This country tends to dominate policy in the world. And that is counter to allowing the expression of the souls of the different nations to express. And this is my personal opinion. No one has to believe it, but I cannot see how it's possible to bring about sharing and cooperation with the current system of the way we interact politically and economically. We certainly do. The average person, ordinary people, don't have a democratic say in, for instance, here in Seattle. People don't have a democratic say in the big corporate industries that are here. Some of them are name brands that people would know, and people, I'm sure, around the world, there are name brands. I won't name them, but they are big corporations, and they make this area extremely. There's a prosperity here that's extraordinary. However, alongside that prosperity is a housing crisis, because the cost of housing has increased dramatically. We're seeing numbers of homeless people that we've never seen before. There was an article in the paper recently how the numbers of unknown, unclaimed, unidentified homeless people have risen, and there was a burial of unidentified homeless people. The number has doubled since last year here in this county. And that's a side effect of this disparity of the commercialization that we're talking about. That's a side effect of greed, of competition. Sure, we're prosperous, and I'm grateful that there's so much opportunity here, but I am in despair. We just had a huge storm, and I'm thinking, all those homeless people who put up their tents by the side of the freeway, where do they stay when there's a storm? So there are serious issues that we face.
And Solito, mm-hmm. Oh, I was going to say, you have spoken to the pushback we get from others when we bring up Maitreya's priorities. People say, well, how are you going to accomplish that? And when you mentioned the housing, we had talked earlier about how in the housing crisis since the recession, some 7 million Americans have lost their homes, and many of them aren't going to get them back at this point anyway.
7 million Americans, 7 million from the 2008 market crash, which was brought about by the corporate banks. and in their rapacious greed. And that's very clear to anyone who's lost their home, anyone who's had to interact with a bank understands that very well. And certainly the loss of so many homes, that was the impetus behind Occupy and why Occupy Wall Street galvanized so many people around the country. People are certainly very aware of the pains of that. And I think sometimes there is a kind of post-traumatic stress that's part of that, that we're still trying to recover from. And it's worth paying attention to the messages of Maitreya to understand that humanity is not alone in solving this crisis that we find ourselves, which is simply the crisis of being unable to demonstrate our divine qualities as individuals and as communities and as nations.
I was going to say, and Solito, we're finding the people who fuel all these movements you've mentioned responding to these energies, not so much the government. Until they're forced to. Why the people? When the people force the government and the corporations to change, then they adopt these principles of sharing.
Elaborate on that. You said responding to the energies. What are people responding to?
Oh, well, I know, too, this is something that that you and Diana have discussed in this past year. So hopefully this will sound familiar to the listeners. The idea that we're moving into a new age, the age of Aquarius, we call it. Each of these ages lasting about 2,000 years. And we just come out of the Piscean age, which was, the last 2,000 years, in which many of these structures and institutions were formed. And we can talk more about that after the break.
So you're saying that the bank institutions are based on Piscean energy. That's very interesting. We'll continue that thought. Visit share-international, share-international.org to find the whole story, all the information.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Every night, when the skies are clear, a remarkable event can be witnessed. A UFO the size of 5 football fields is moving through the skies just like a star. It pulses, it blinks, it changes color. This spacecraft appeared before as the Star of Bethlehem. Find out what it all means. Visit shareontheairradio.org. That's shareontheairradio.org.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
in our final segment of Share on the Air Radio North America. And let's continue our conversation, David. You were mentioning the Piscean Age and the Aquarian Age and the fact that our economic systems that we're seeing affecting our lives today is based on the old Piscean structures. Give us a distinction between what the old world is and the new world of the Aquarian Age that we're moving into.
In the old world, Salito, under the Piscean energies, the concept of the individual was perfected. 2,000 years ago, they didn't have that. They had more of a herd mentality. But over 2,000 years, we've become idealistic and we've become individualistic. Also, 2,000 years ago, they didn't have wars based so much on ideology. It was more over territory and resources. So now the idea of individualism has gone too far. We get to where everyone is doing their own thing, as we used to say back in the 60s, and to the detriment of others. And these economic systems, these corporations, these governments are still operating under those old patterns and energies, and it's not serving the people. We're ending up with starvation wages, and homelessness, and war, and all of these things because people are, the countries have not yet fully embraced the Aquarian energies of synthesis and of brotherhood and of peace and
I want to underscore something you just said. Yes. You just said not serving the people. And I think this is what many concerned people, many activists understand very clearly, that our systems are broken, especially the political systems. They're not serving the people. And we've got to find a way. You know, I don't think marching in the streets is going to do it. We can march in the streets till we're blue in the face, but that won't create a system that serves the people. Talk about what you see happening as we, with the Aquarian Age, the influx of Aquarian energies, how is that going to help us, the ordinary average people, create the world that really serves the people and not the corporations?
The way I see it, Salito, is since the masters have said the new world superpower is people power, you and I and everyone listening to us today, we're the ones who are going to change the world through our collective action. And as you said, not just through marching, but we have to pressure. We have to pressure our governments and we have to pressure companies, the companies we work for, the corporations we don't work for, who are not serving us, to do the right thing, to share, to stop destroying the environment, to adopt policies that will help them actually, help them survive economically, to stop fighting green energy and start embracing it, to stop trying to obfuscate the discussion about global warming and work to solve it. All these things will help their bottom line too, which is something that we have to make them see.
Well, I'm gonna jump in here with the language that we're using because we're saying they have to see what we see. And I think to take this a step further, to take transformation a step further, those corporations we have to step into the role of a democratic decision making within our business structures. Today it's a top down, the person at the top calls the shots, and if they say lay off 5,000 people, then 5,000 people are laid off. Not one worker has a say in the direction of the company. And until that's addressed, until there's actual democratic participation in all levels of life, in our educational, in our schools, democratic participation in our schools, democratic participation in our workplaces, democratic participation, like true, not every 4 years for the president, not leaving it to hoping corporations will do the right thing, which they do only for marketing purposes, but a true participation where no longer are we saying us versus them, but we have become the systems that we have created that serve us.
You're right. We have to empower ourselves, Selena. Yeah, you're right. You took it to the next level. Rather than I was saying them and us, it's just us. And you also touched upon something else important, that we claim to be democracy, and yet economically, it's like fascism, what you just described, where you don't have a say at all in what happens. So perhaps we need to put a little money down and get become a stockholder, or take Bernie Sanders' advice and run for school board or run for congressman. Get involved and don't just petition these powers that be. Become a part of them. Draw them into our groups. Show them that they are us and we are them, and work together going forward.
And I can even take it further from that, but we'll leave it. we'll leave it on that thought. But definitely, shifting our perception of ourselves to the point where we must take control of our own destiny and not leave it to others who may only be concerned by the bottom line. You know. Let's see. Let's bring out another quote from Maitreya, message number 3, number 93. Oh, you mentioned
that's
this.
Right.
I want to say this again. So, go ahead.
The law of love and justice must be implemented if mankind will survive. And you had asked that we mention some of these other events that are concrete events that had happened. And you had a quote that you found, Salito, from Benjamin Krem in regards to reservoirs.
Reservoirs that you do have it in front of you.
Yeah, that was the one you found that goes, this is from Benjamin Krem himself.
This is from his book.
He's the
author of The Art of Cooperation. And Benjamin Krem has written dozen and a half books on the emergence of Maitreya, the world teacher and the masters of wisdom. And in The Art of Cooperation, he says, great reservoirs of power lie untapped within humanity, waiting for the magic of cooperation to unleash. I don't see why we have to wait. Why don't we just cooperate now? Why don't we just insist on it now? Make it happen. Participating in transmission meditation, we can talk about that as a way for people to participate in the emergence of Maitreya. You want to speak briefly on transmission meditation?
Yes, because in our last segment, you wanted to tackle what is it we can do? And one of the things we can do is transmission meditation, where we all meditate together as a group. It's not an individual meditation, and it's not just for the individual, but this meditation is a world service. It was introduced to humanity by the masters through Benjamin Krem in 1974. And when you do transmission meditation, you act as a group, and the great energies that stream into the planet from extraplanetary and cosmic sources that the masters themselves are sort of the scientific custodians of pass through you as a member of a transmission meditation group and go out into the world. You don't direct them. The masters direct them. But you become part of that energy that feeds the entire world, that spiritual energy that all of us and all the kingdoms drink from. And helps on other levels too, Salito, you know, the great beings we've talked about whose energies pass through the masters and then through us. and can even help countries negotiating that are at each other's throats. So there's a practical way we'll become part of it.
TransmissionMeditation.org. That's TransmissionMeditation.org. That's where you can find groups that are meeting in your area. Find out how you can start your own transmission meditation group. It's the easiest, most potent way to be of service to humanity. As you said, David, with receiving all those powerful energies, working with the Masters of Wisdom within a transmission meditation group, that allows a tremendous amount of work to be accomplished in a short amount of time, and it is a work of tremendous service for humanity. So it's good karma, definitely.
Oh, and you mentioned something else, Asli. You wanted examples. What have we done? What can we do? And I know you and I talked earlier, and I'm going to mention this really briefly because we have so little time left. The Marshall Plan that the U.S. instituted after World War II, which rebuilt Europe. And it was a tremendous payoff. All those countries were restored economically, and the whole world moved forward. Now we need a modern-day Marshall Plan to help the world recover from what we're going through, and to move forward together.
That's a good point. What that brings to mind, David, is the U.S. thinks it's the main thing in the world, but it's all countries, it's all nations. The message of Maitreya is for everyone. And we do, in this country, have tremendous influence. So we encourage the audience to share and cooperate. David, thank you.